Council of Canada's latest report to Canadians, Rekindling Reform, Healthcare Renewal in Canada, 2003 to 2008, released this week, reviews the government's efforts to fulfill promises and intentions for health reform that began in 2003 with the 2003 Accord on Healthcare Renewal. What are the results of the billions of dollars committed to improving our system? And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Don Jedrishin, CEO of Health Council of Canada. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
What are the areas targeted for reform? What were the areas targeted for reform at the beginning of this cycle in 2003? And what were the commitments and plans that were made at the various levels of government made to Canadians at that time?
Well, as you'll recall, Dr. Dworkin, we had a health accords, as you mentioned, were negotiated back in the early 2000s, 2003, 2004. And it was at that time that public confidence perhaps was at its lowest point in respect to the sustainability and ability of the healthcare system to respond to the needs of Canadians. And the Health Council of Canada was given the role of monitoring and reporting on the tenets of which you are asking me to recite. So those were the catastrophic drug coverage and safe, appropriate practices. We also saw the government's really looking towards reform and renewal by adding home care to the complement of services being provided. Aboriginal health was pulled out as a theme that required attention. Primary health care was another one that was seen to be a more effective way of delivering care to local community settings. And the electronic health record and information technology was seen to be still in the antediluvian ages. There were also concerns which we've had a little bit more impact on, and of course the healthcare workforce. And at that time, the concern with the numbers of physicians and nurses in the system was an issue. Reporting on the progress, in other words, the way in which targets were, in this case, not set, and in only small cases of wait lists for five specific forms of healthcare intervention, reporting on progress was very difficult. So that whole question of accountability arose, and of course, wait times, which was the Canadians' number one issue at that time. So those are the primary themes that we pulled out of the health accords, which we monitor from year to year.
Now, what were the data sources you were using to evaluate the progress of this reform in this report?
Well, I wish I could say that the data sources that we could rely on were internally valid and had been robust enough that they would be able to withstand a high degree of scientific rigor. However, we did the best that we could. Right. And what we did is we began to scour the websites and the experiences that were being cataloged and noted on the websites of the various provinces, governments, and territories. And what we would do is follow the jurisdiction's progress on implementation of various efforts. And of course, this was very difficult to do because, as you know, healthcare being a provincial responsibility, there is almost no, there are no strings attached to the funds, the $31 billion from the from the 2003 Accord, and then the $44 billion from the 2004 Accord. There were really no strings attached to how those funds were to be expended, except to meet the very broad kind of generalities that were identified by the themes that I mentioned. So we had to essentially scan the environment and pull primary data as best we could to see how provinces were doing in respect to those particular themes. And this particular report that we released today provides a comprehensive, reflective look at that data over the last 5 years. And of course, in some cases, we've been able to identify some successes limited, but also a much greater concern around the opportunities that have not been grasped in the course of reform and renewal.
Well, I like to look at some of the, you know, I like to sometimes look at things as the cup half full. So let's start from that end and some of the positive things you've seen and the changes since 2003, and then following the concerns that you've mentioned where it just hasn't come to the point that to meeting a satisfactory endpoint.
Sure. The health accords funneled money out in four different forms. One was the Canada Health Transfer. Another one was healthcare renewal and reform, primary healthcare, and the waitlist initiative. The waitlist woke everybody up. It was an opportunity for the federal government to say that Canadians were simply not willing to accept the kind of wait times that were associated with surgery for be it cataracts or for hips and knees, cardiac surgery, radiation therapy, forms of oncology therapy. These were important elements that the governments had identified as being important to track and report to the public. So on those, and there were five areas that were identified. In those five areas, we saw remarkable progress. People put their shoulder to the wheel, and they began to develop targets across the country and began to report on those. So you can visit the websites of government departments across the country and see where they are in respect to those particular healthcare interventions. Mm-hmm. So that's the glass half full. The portion that's a concern, of course, is there is such a multitude of other forms of intervention which are being neglected because they didn't fall into those five categories. And by neglected, I'm saying they haven't had the same kind of attention of the lessons learned from beginning to become accountable and reporting on performance on those kinds of things into these other sectors. So we are very much imploring the jurisdictions to be looking at that effectively. The other one is the electronic health record. Now, we had promised in the accord of, in fact, it was the Health InfoWay goal to have 50% of Canadians with access to their electronic health record by the year of 2010, a mere 2 years away. Mm-hmm. Well, in actual fact, we're only sitting at 7% of the Canadian population as of March 2008 having their records in an electronic format. So we've still got a terrible distance to go. But on the other side, there have been huge improvements made in the introduction of information technology. On the one hand, it's not being utilized as effectively as it could be. The other success story is that of the medical diagnostic imaging equipment that has been installed across the country as a result of the commitment made in the health accord. So the wait lists for MRI, CT scans, for example, have decreased fairly substantially across the country. That then raises another question around whether they were in fact necessary in the mm-hmm. first place, but that's a whole different set of discussions that take place around that. So those are some of the areas where there were some real successes.
Now, does the report, or can you conclude or derive from the report an idea about the manner in which the healthcare system is funded and managed? That is, you mentioned 30 billion 1 year, 44 the next, for granted over an extended time. Mm-hmm. However, you mentioned that when the focus is on one area, others get neglected. Does this speak to how the system works, or and potentially providing input onto how you can change that so you make the entire system work?
Yeah, you've touched on the nib of what is fundamentally the problem of how it is that we more effectively can manage into the future. And we are extremely hard done by the fact that when we had the health accords established, we did it with some very broad generalities. We never got into defining what do we mean by a primary health care team? What do we mean by catastrophic drug coverage? What do we mean by appropriate standards of home care delivery across the country? Because we didn't have that conversation on a national basis, we're now finding there to be a patchwork quilt mm-hmm. of of isolated areas of excellence in certain areas. So we know, for example, Manitoba, New Brunswick have excellent home care service programs for their jurisdictions. But those in British Columbia or in Ontario may not have the advantage of the same quality and scope of service. So by not having set clear goals and having articulated targets and benchmarks towards which we were going to work, we really set ourselves to some extent to fail at being able to demonstrate the, and respond to the question that you're asking is, have we actually made a difference? Or do we know if there's improvements that have been made? Because we don't have the quality of data that we should have as a result of those expenditures that are being made. And by the end of 2014, we will have expended on the health accords with the 6% escalator something in the order of $239 billion in trying to stimulate healthcare renewal and reform. So I think what we want to try and encourage for the next 5 years is a conversation amongst the provincial jurisdictions and territories to start becoming a bit more definitive as to what they mean by these various forms of renewal and reform.
Now, has the Health Council of Canada looked at how other countries offer services to their citizens and evaluated the approach compared to that of Canada in terms of looking at what works well, what provides universality, and actually does what some of the things that you've noted are lacking in our system?
We have done a little bit, and I'm sorry to say we probably have not done enough. We have conducted a Commonwealth survey in association with the Commonwealth Fund in the United States to compare the experiences of patients for characteristics like how long does it take to get in to see your family physician. Once you get in to see your family physician, how well supported is that physician with other members of the healthcare team to help deliver the kinds of care or services that you might require. So we have looked to understanding that New Zealand and Britain, for example, have done a remarkable job of advancing primary healthcare teams, and that's reflected quite substantively in the satisfaction that those clients then have in accessing those services in those communities. We go to a country like Denmark or Germany, where we're looking at the extent to which the electronic health record is being utilized to share information among the different types and levels of care that are being delivered within the healthcare system. And we find that in the order of 80 to 90% of clients have their record electronically available. And we in Canada are suffering still at 7%. So we do look at international best practices to try and inform what might be an appropriate road for us to consider here in Canada.
So what happens next? I mean, you've pointed out that there are other countries doing things that are very effective, admittedly in certain areas, some areas better than others, and some countries better than others. But it would seem that it would be reinventing the wheel if we know something works. Say this was a science experiment and we were to say, you know, and you look at different studies around the world and they all come to various similar conclusions. Would we say, well, let's develop something uniquely different, or would we, it would stand to reason to incorporate what we know works that still follows the overall goal of universality and provides a framework to build on as opposed to starting from scratch?
Absolutely. And you'll find that with some of the reports that we've released recently, the chronic diseases report that we released back in November, and then our Fixing the Foundation, which looked at primary health care and home care services, we did look for evidence that were best practices that we wanted to bring to the attention, of the Canadian population. We are also looking at characteristics, and we call this our Shining the Light series. I'm just fighting a bit of a cold here.
But,
the Shining the Light series is going to be an initiative in which we look at data which has been systematically and critically reviewed and would suggest that these practices in these particular situations are worthy of analysis for application within the Canadian context. And we, for example, know from our looking at the data from the Veterans Administration group south of the border, that in fact they have made some remarkable advancements in improving the quality of care by standardizing that care based on good systematic reviews of care delivery plans. The same is true of Intermountain Health south of the border, and it's also true of the efforts in the UK with primary health care, which I mentioned earlier. So we look to that kind of validated and generalizable data to base our suggestions as to where the jurisdictions should be looking. And we fortunately even have in Canada excellence being achieved. So if we go to the Calgary Health Region, we know that there was a program that was initiated there by as a pilot project to look at doing hips and knees in a different way than had been done before. Mm-hmm. Lots of pre-admission preparation, lots of letting the patient know what they might expect during the course of the treatment and the intervention, what might some of the complications be, and therefore a fair warning, and what the treatment modalities might be, what the discharge planning is involved. That particular initiative reduced the wait list for hips and knees in that region from 47 weeks down to 4.7, and they increased their throughput at the same time. So we know that there are examples in Canada like that. The Capital Health Region in Edmonton, another Alberta example, has attempted to rationalize their treatment delivery for diabetes patients in that community. And they've now rostered, I believe, just over 50% of their patients, and they're monitoring them very closely, and they're going to be, by the end of the of this decade, looking at having 100% of their diabetic patients on their registry. So it's efforts like that, the telehealth initiative in Newfoundland, which has been remarkable in terms of bringing healthcare to the rural and remote settings, primary healthcare initiatives here in Ontario, some real strong strides that have been made in that area. So we actually have got examples here in Canada which could serve us well. And we would like to see those extended to other Canadians in other jurisdictions where they may not have those advantages.
Well, Dr. Jeswishan, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss the report and also providing a broader scope of understanding of the positive and the areas of our healthcare system that require more focus and some of the ideas that are being proposed to correct that. And I really appreciate the time you spent with us today.
Great. Delighted to chat with you, Dr. Dworkin.
Dr. Don Jeswishan is Chief Executive Officer of the Health Council of Canada. And you can start calling in if you like at 1-800-580-2372, 1-800-580-2372 for our second hour of calls. Looking forward to speaking with you. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sunday House Call.